Hello. I'd like to welcome you to today's program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. The first article today is titled, Job Market Keeps Humming as It Absorbs Shocks, but the Outlook is Murky. The article appeared in the April 6th issue of the Wall Street Journal, and it was written for the journal by Nick Timireos. The March jobs report offered a reminder of why so many economists have been reluctant to bet against the U.S. labor market. Even after 4 years of shocks, it keeps finding its footing. The question now is whether that can last. Over the last few years, the job market has weathered the most aggressive rate hiking cycle in decades, a regional banking crisis, and a tariff shock. Each time it bent, but did not break. The latest joke, though, to energy prices and supply chains from the Iran war will again test the limits of that resilience. Employers added 178,000 jobs in March, reversing a larger than previously reported decline of 133,000 in February. The unemployment rate also unwound February's increase, ticking down to 4.3%. Some details were less encouraging, however. Wage growth for rank and file workers slowed to its weakest year-over-year pace since the pandemic reopening 5 years ago. Averaging two volatile months together gives a clearer picture of the underlying trend and showed monthly gains of just 22,500 jobs. While that pace would have been alarming enough 2 years ago, the labor market has held together in large part because a sharp drop in immigration and an increase in retirees means economists now think that it needs fewer new jobs on net than it used to just to stand still. Coming into 2026, economists had hoped that the job market was done slowing down. March's solid headline number might have been a glimpse of that, but after the closure of the Strait of Hormuz and upended the global energy supply chains, nobody's talking much about reacceleration now, said Guy Berger, a labor economist. The labor market had already been adjusting to a significant change in immigration policy that has reduced the pool of potential workers. Firms have been slow to hire, but reluctant to fire. It is a job market consistent with full employment, but with very low growth and much less dynamism, leaving little cushion. Federal Reserve officials have been grappling with what it would mean if the economy needs far fewer jobs to keep the unemployment rate steady. Conveying that a zero job growth economy is consistent with full employment is not easy, San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly said in a blog post Friday. The limited inflow of new workers means that the economy's speed limit is lower now, she said, and the risk of a miscalculation holding interest rates either too low or too high is greater. Uncertainty from the war has already shifted how Fed officials talk about the path of interest rates. Before the conflict, many policymakers still expected to resume cutting rates this year. Now, more have indicated that the Fed could be on hold indefinitely. The optimistic case is that the war and the resulting supply chain disruptions don't last much longer, limiting the damage to hiring. The pessimistic case now is that a prolonged conflict sends a price shocks rippling through fertilizer, industrial chemicals, and semiconductor production. Higher costs for employers and consumers alike could squeeze the spending that supports new hiring. Unlike the energy shock from Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022, consumers have already drawn down savings buffers and wage growth is decelerating. That means that households have less room to absorb higher prices without cutting back on spending. If they do cut back, businesses that depend on that spending could also reduce the hours and headcount. The bottom 60% of earners today keep spending as long as they've employed because so much of their budget goes to necessities, says Nathan Sheets, chief economist at Citigroup. What would break them would be if the labor market softened significantly, he said. Although the costs are starting now to add up, the fiscal boost that was supposed to carry growth this spring, and with it support for hiring as well, is in a race against the gas pump. Economists at the St. Louis Fed estimate the increase in fuel prices over the past month could cost consumers the equivalent of 10 to 50% of President Trump's tax relief enacted last year for every quarter that gas prices stay around current levels. Every dollar that goes into the gas tank is a dollar that doesn't go to the restaurants, the retailers, and the service businesses that account for the bulk of American employment. Rising bond yields have pushed mortgage rates back toward 6.5% from 6%, dimming prospects for a lift to housing that could support construction jobs. The next article that I would like to read for you today was taken from the New York Times the 10th of April of this year. The title is Blue-Collar Work Has Plateaued, Narrowing Options for Young Workers. This article was written for the New York Times by Talman Joseph Smith. In June, the White House said President Trump's signature package of tax cuts would unleash our economy and deliver a blue-collar boom. The president and his vice president, J.D. Vance, have also pledged that Mr. Trump's tariff campaign would revive manufacturing jobs, including those in the skilled trades. Instead, the parts of the blue-collar labor market occupied primarily by men have been slowing for over a year now. Jobs in sectors that include the trades, such as manufacturing and construction, have racked up roughly 150,000 net losses on an annual basis as of March, based on calculations by Joey Politano, an economic analyst. In contrast, healthcare and social assistance jobs, professions that women typically dominate, generated the most job growth in 2025. More tradesmen like plumbers and pipe fitters are retiring these days, opening up some opportunities for younger workers. But the slowdown in hiring across the labor market is limiting demand for new labor. Mr. Trump's tariff increases, which he said would bring blue-collar jobs back to the United States, have instead raised costs for manufacturers, as well as the repair and maintenance sectors, and elevated inflation and interest rates have also slowed business. Layoffs are low across the economy and in the trades, too, but hiring rates have slumped to the drab pace of 2009, when the unemployment rate was 10%, twice as high as it is now. Hiring across the manufacturing sector, which encompasses the trades, has declined roughly 40% since 2022. There are jobs available, said Joseph Bruzuelas, who is chief economist for RSM, an accounting firm. But right now, demand for blue-collar labor is not sufficient to meet the supply. Changing prospects. For years, hiring managers in the trades complained about labor shortages. After President Joseph Biden Jr. signed legislation that encouraged a burst of infrastructure projects, job openings in manufacturing, which include welders, machinists, and mechanics, peaked in 2022. Over the past few years, however, openings have plummeted to 2018 levels, even as the economy has grown much larger. Job openings in construction, which include carpenters, HVAC, installers, and iron workers, have fallen to levels seen last in 2016. Even so, U.S. labor force participation among men ages 25 to 54 is well above levels from the last decade, rising over the past year to 90%, compared with 78% for women. Federal Reserve researchers have noted that the drop from higher male participation levels in the late 20th century also reflects younger millennials enrolling in post-secondary education at higher rates through their late 20s. This idea, though, that all these people need to do is to go into the trades or whatever is just not supported by the data, said Guy Berger, a labor economist and senior advisor at Access Macro, a consulting firm. As artificial intelligence threatens various forms of entry-level white-collar work, some career advisors and business leaders point to work in the trades as potentially artificial intelligence proof. Unionized skilled workers benefit from solid middle-class pay once trained and licensed. And the college wage premium, as economists call it, has stagnated, especially as the cost of four-year college has risen. Still, that premium is still high overall. Economists at the Cleveland Fed estimated in a 2025 paper that the wages of college-educated workers in the coming years are likely to be 76% more than those of workers with less education. There is less of a penalty to not having a four-year degree than in the past, but there still is a penalty, Mr. Berger said. Business owners and economists say the doldrums of the job market for the trades can be explained by a messy trio of overlapping factors. Commercial activity has decelerated throughout the country. Immigration has tanked since Mr. Trump returned to office, halting a steady inflow of men willing to do entry-level, blue-collar work at relatively low incomes. And interest rates, which have risen once again since the war with Iran have started, have frozen the housing market, the steadiest source of work for many tradesmen. It's a cyclical sector, said Marco Zappacosta, the chief executive of Thumbtack, an online marketplace for people looking to hire tradespeople. When you look further out past this cycle, you see the trends that are causing people to pay attention here. Jack Marquardt, the owner of Electric Avenue, which is a contractor in the Portland, Oregon area, graduated from high school in 2013. He applied to universities, assuming that was what a young person was supposed to do. "I wanted to go to college with all of my friends," he said. But after one semester, fearful of incurring debt, he dropped out and joined the Army National Guard. After basic training there, he stumbled into an electrician apprenticeship and found that he liked working with his hands and putting ideas to the test more than office work. Now at 30, he is a licensed electrician with a wife and three children. Mr. Marquardt spends much of what would otherwise be downtime recruiting young people to his trade. 11 of Electric Avenue's 12 employees are under age 40, a point of pride for him. And non-apprentice, full-time roles pay well, averaging $50 or more an hour. Identifying suitable workers, the people that are super motivated and super hardworking, isn't easy, he argued. But he said electrical contractors also face the opposite problem, a lack of projects or positions available. Business has picked up for Mr. Marquardt in recent months, he added, but I know a lot of guys who are out of work right now. Hard-to-square mismatches in the sector stem from two factors, veteran tradesmen said. How long it takes to go from lower-paid apprentice to licensed tradesmen. Hourly wages for years-long apprenticeships can be as low as the mid-teens. And specific qualifications that make someone a fit for a given job in a way that is not clear from a job posting alone. It's all about finding the right people. Just because somebody shows up with a pulse or even an electrical license does not automatically mean that we could use him, said Carl Murawski, who works at Ducci Electrical, a construction company in Farmington, Connecticut. We had an interview yesterday. This kid came in, and he already knows how to do a lot of technical highway construction work, highway lighting and signs and stuff like that, Mr. Murawski said. He held all the cards because there's not many people out there with that type of experience. We were just one of several interviews he was doing. Mr. Murawski is an evangelist for the trades. On his YouTube channel, he gives career advice, reviews work gear, and hosts debates among practitioners of different crafts. But he is not shy about the workload. He recently broke his fibula after a pole fell on him. It can be especially tough, he said, if you're a gopher starting out, hauling heavy materials, working nights and early mornings in hot attics or outdoors in frigid weather. Some boosters of the trade glorify it and maybe are not as upfront about the downsides, he said. Richard Reeves, an author of A New Contract with the Middle Class and the president of the American Institute for Boys and Men, said that for all the talk of labor shortages in the trades, the healthcare and education sectors, which are growing faster, had several times more job openings. Similar to how proponents of the trades have spent years trying to destigmatize manual labor, Mr. Reeves and his group have argued for destigmatizing care economy work for men. Job preferences among the sexes tend to be sticky. In recent years, though, the share of men in nursing has increased to 11% from 9%. If we want men to have job opportunities, then we need to get them into these jobs where the job opportunities are coming from, Mr. Reeves said. I desperately want to get this whole issue about what's happening to boys and men away from the culture war stuff, away from the dinner party lamentations about the manosphere, and into the reality of the economy. The artificial intelligence data center build-out is providing strong but spotty opportunities for workers in the trades. In the areas where data centers are being built, they literally cannot find bodies fast enough, said Steve Metzman, chief executive of Connected Apprentice, which facilitates digital training for trades work. But interest rates may need to drop before the gains can spread to more of the country and the types of construction connected to housing. If job openings tick up, Mr. Murawski, the electrician from Connecticut, said, a fresh supply of workers might start looking for something new. We have already had some guys come in asking about work because they're trying to get away from artificial intelligence, he said. It's a good option for some people. The right person has a tremendous amount of opportunity in front of them. The next article that I would like to read for you today comes from the Arizona Republic, the 12th of April. Women take lead in these high-paying career fields. This article was written for USA Today by Daniel DeVise. In academia, women now outpace men at every level. They earn the majority of bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, federal data show. But women still are earning less. The gender pay gap narrowed slightly in recent years, but it widened again in 2025, according to an analysis by the Economic Policy Institute. Controlling for socioeconomic factors, women earned 18.6% less than men did. It's really depressing to say this, but I don't see it being closed in this lifetime, said Eva Chan, a career expert at Resume Genius, the job seeker website. Still, there are some high-paying careers that are dominated or at least led by women. A lot of these are leadership or management roles, Chan said. Several fall into the healthcare realm. They tend to require strong communication skills. They are generally artificial intelligence resistant. So here are the 10 fields in descending order of median salary. First, financial manager. This job pays a median annual salary of $161,700, according to Labor Department data for 2024. Women make up 53% of the workforce. The field encompasses 868,600 jobs and is expected to grow by 15% between 2024 and 2034. Financial managers review financial reports, create budgets, analyze data, and forecast future income and expenses. Resume Genius reports. Next is human resources manager. This field pays $140,030 a year and spans 221,900 workers, of whom 76% are women. HR managers recruit, hire, and oversee employee relations and workplace issues. Next down is pharmacist. This job pays $137,480 per year, and the top 10% of pharmacists pull down $172,040 annually. Women make up 60% of pharmacists, who number 335,100. It requires more education than most, generally a doctor of pharmacy degree and a state license. And next is physician assistant. These workers earn a median salary of $133,000 a year, and the top 10% get $182,000 annually. The field is 73% women. Job growth is projected at 20% by 2034. Physician's assistants treat patients under a doctor's oversight. The job generally requires a master's degree. Next is public relations and fundraising managers. This job pays $133,000 a year. There are 129,000 positions nationwide, 70% of which are held by women. These workers shape and protect a company's public image. This is, again, public relations and fundraising managers. Resume Genius reports to us. Next down is nurse practitioner. Median pay here is $132,000 each year. Top earners get $217,000 annually. The field is 88% of women, with 382,700 positions and a strong projected growth of jobs of 35% by 2034. Nurse practitioners provide advanced patient care, Resume Genius reports to us. They need at least a master's degree. And then there are veterinarians. Veterinarians make $125,000 a year, with top earners at $212,000 annually. The field is 69% women today and encompasses 86,000 jobs. Job growth is projected at 10% by 2034. Note here, the patients may growl or hiss at you. And next is medical and health services manager. This vague sounding job pays $117,960 per year, with the top earners in the field getting $219,000 per year. There are 616,000 positions out there, 74% of which are held by women, and projected growth is a robust 23% by 2034. These managers oversee and coordinate healthcare services across facilities or departments. The report says, supervising operations and managing staffing and budgets. And then there are occupational therapists. This job pays just under $100,000 a year, with the top 10% of earners getting $130,000 yearly. There are about 160,000 positions out there, with 88% filled by women. Job growth by 2034 is projected at 14%. Occupational therapists help people rebuild skills for daily routines when they are recovering from illnesses or injuries or coping with ongoing health conditions. And finally, we have speech-language pathologists. This field pays $95,000 per year, with the top earnings in the field getting $132,000 a year. There are about 187,000 positions out there for speech-language pathologists, 95% of which are filled by women. Job growth by the year 2034 is projected to be 15% in this field. These people work with people who have disorders involving speech, language, and swallowing. Typically, they need a master's degree. I recently found an article in the New York Times about some jobs that no longer exist, but were once good jobs out there that you've never heard of, and I had never heard of either. First, there was a hurrier. This is just an interesting byline here. Coal mines were never much fun places to work, but in the early 1800s, some coal chutes and tunnels were only 2 feet high. The coal was transported up these tunnels in baskets called corfs, which were pushed and pulled along a system of rails. The people doing the pushing and pulling, they were called hurriers, H-U-R-R-I-E-R-S. Small boys or girls, sometimes as young as 4 years old. Because the tunnels were so tight, many hurriers pushed the coal by walking on all fours, pushing the corf with their heads, causing some children, of course, to develop bald spots. And today we seem to be worried that artificial intelligence is going to be putting some of our jobs out of existence. This is all we have time for in our program on careers today. I hope you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.